All right, we're looking forward to Thanksgiving. I believe everybody does. And what I want to talk about today is that Thanksgiving is just a thought away. Is just a thought away. To me, Thanksgiving is a great holiday. Nobody gets upset about Santa Claus trying to rip Jesus off from his birthday, you know what I mean? You know, some people get kind of upset about that, and there's no big drama about presents and who gets what for who and all this. You know, Thanksgiving primarily is just about food and family, and that's a good time. But also, Thanksgiving is about God and about his bountiful gifts that he gives to each of our lives, and we need to acknowledge that, I believe. You know, the Pilgrims were the first ones to celebrate a form of Thanksgiving here in our country, United States. And a pilgrim, if you look it up, it means that somebody who goes on a journey to a sacred place as an act of religious devotion. And the Pilgrims believed deep down in their heart that God had called them to this country. They believed that he had called them because they wanted the freedom of religion, and they came here and they wanted to settle here. And the first time, it was a little bit rough. Some of them died, but primarily they planted their food, and then they had the harvest, and they wanted to give God the glory of thanksgiving for that bountiful harvest that he had brought them. And I believe that we too are pilgrims. We're just passing through this life on a journey heading to a holy place, and that's heaven, right? And I believe down here that we need to get in the habit of offering thanks to God, because it's very important. I'll be honest, the most joyful people that I've ever met in my life, and I've been studying people for a long time, are joyful people. Those people who are thanking God even for the little things. And it doesn't matter what's going on around them, they're just the thankful people, and it really carries over into the rest of their life. Because really, Thanksgiving is just a thought away. We can control our thoughts. Scripture I want to start off with today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. Or 15 to 18, or 16 to 18. I'm messed up here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. There we go. And we've looked at some of these. God's been really dropping these, a few of these on my heart here this fall. And we've kind of looked at this one and the next one already this year. But I thought it'd be good for this message. The Bible says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that we do want to be in your will. Because in your will is the best and the safest place to be. And Lord, we just pray right now that you give us revelation knowledge. Just impart truth to us by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside me, and I thank you, Lord. I want to use it for your glory and not my own. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at our first point today is topic of gratitude. You know, we need to develop an attitude of gratitude. And, you know, I read a story the other day about a sailor who saved a little boy's life. And Winston Churchill told this story. It happened in England. He said, sometimes I expect God must feel a little bit like the sailor of whom Sir Winston Churchill once spoke. It seems that one day a Royal Navy sailor dived into the frigid waters of the Plymouth Harbor to save the life of a little boy who was drowning. 3 days later, the sailor met the boy and his mother in the street, and he saw the boy nudge his mother, and the mother stopped the sailor and asked, are you the man that pulled my little boy out of the water? Expecting an expression of gratitude, the sailor smiled, stood erect, saluted the lady, and said, yes, ma'am. Then replied the mother with increasing temper, where's his cap? Isn't that like somebody, some people are sometimes? No matter what you do for them, it's not enough. Hopefully we're not that person, you know what I mean? But here her boy got saved, and she's worried about his cap. And like I said, we probably know somebody like that. We need to pray for him. But this passage that we just read, to me, is the trifecta of being able to try to find God's will for our life. And there's other ways you can find God's will, but I think these three are a good place to start. The first one is rejoice always. You know, not just in the good times. You know, because it says to rejoice always, to pray constantly, and to give thanks in everything. See, we sometimes are only happy when things are going our way. But God has given us a secret in Scripture about how we can live an overcoming life, and that's to be able to walk in joy. Now, happiness and joy are very similar, but yet they're different. And some people get kind of split hairs on it, but primarily I like to look at it is that happiness is usually based on the circumstances in our culture. You know, if I'm happy, you know, then I'll hang in there and I'll do some things. You know, a lot of people don't, they're not happy with their job or not happy in their marriage or they're not happy, you know, at this and at that and all these sort of things. And so they bail without really trying to find the strength and to be able to turn that situation around. But the Bible says that joy comes from God, I believe, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So there must be a way that you and I can tap into what God has for us, because to me, joy is being connected to God. You'd be surprised how many people miss this simple little thing in their walk with God. You know, they're very sporadic in their walk with God, in all the things that they do. And what happens then is that they start to lose that connection. They don't lose their salvation. Don't get me wrong. We're not talking about that right now. But I tell you what, anytime in any kind of relationship where you kind of break that, you know, it gets us in a tough situation. So I believe that to walk in joy, we need to keep God and His promises our focal point. Now, God's promises are very important to us. And when you read the Bible, you need to try to translate it in the sense where when you look at it, you're saying, God, that promise is for me. Yes, me. And I'm going to take that promise for myself. And if you do that, you start to walk in a form of joy. And I'll be honest, you can be happy, or not happy all the time, but you can start to walk in joy no matter what's going on around you. And I believe that's exciting. Because then we get to the place in our life where we're not just put down all the time and we're not walking in that negative flow. And that negative flow will suck the life right out of you. And it's really unfortunate that we can get in that place. Then it says to pray without ceasing. And to me, and we taught on prayer this fall, you know, keep the God connection going. You know, when we lose touch, we miss out. You know, I can tell in my life when, you know, sometimes if I allow, you know, certain things, you know, that happen, the world system and, you know, stress and busyness of life and, you know, all these things that come in and all these demands that's on our life. And, you know, usually we kind of figure, well, God will forgive us. He'll get over it. So I don't need to, you know, maybe spend time with Him or maybe not need to read the Word or not be faithful to church and stay connected there. And before we know it, we kind of lose that connection and we kind of get out there and we're kind of lost and we're in a situation where we can't figure anything out and we just don't have that God feeling, you know, that He puts inside of us the Bible says you'll never leave us, forsake us. But I'll tell you what, when you know, just I always equate it to marriage. I mean, when you get married, you're about as married as you're going to get. When you sign that paper and you get up and stand in front of everybody and say, I do, you're married. It doesn't matter if you talk to each other again the rest of your life, you're still married as you're going to be, legally. But as far as your personal relationship with your wife or your husband, you guys may not have anything in common. You're totally disconnected. You don't communicate. And when you communicate, you yell. You know what I'm saying? I'm just preaching real good right here, right now, ain't I? I've been married myself for 30 years. I've lived this, some of it. Some of it I'm not proud of. But I will tell you that, you know, you lose that connection and then you're on a different page and then it's tough. And it can get like that with God. Because I believe that the less we communicate with God, the more distant that we feel He becomes. Now, He hasn't stopped where He's at. He's always been there. But we kind of move our location. We move away from Him. And that's where we start to get into our issues in life. Next, it says give thanks. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, it says give thanks in everything. Now, I want to clarify, and I always do this. The Bible never says to give thanks for everything. Not everything that happens to you is from God. You know, there's a devil out there that tries to come in and tries to steal your joy and tries to affect your situation and your circumstances, tries to affect your family, tries to get us off where we start blaming God. I mean, before I really knew what the Bible said, you know, I kind of used to blame God for stuff. You know, when stuff happened in my life, you know, God, why'd you let this happen? Well, if I remember right, you know, God wasn't the one who was behind the wheel. I was. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I had something happened to me, I got in a wreck or something like that. You know, it's personal responsibility sometimes. But, you know, I don't give God, there's people that, you know, I thank God I got in a car wreck, I got a new car. I mean, that's not sensible. You know, thank God for insurance. But I'd rather have assurance, you know what I'm saying? You know, where I'm trusting God, and, you know, and we're going to get into this at the end of the message, how important this facet of our relationship with God really is. Because if we can learn to do this, because, you know, we need to get to the place where we learn how to practice the art of contentment. Now, the Apostle Paul did that. I mean, you look at that in Philippians 4, I believe, is where he talks about it. I mean, Paul laid it on the line. He just packed up and started chasing after God. I mean, he went off and started planting churches and preaching the gospel and doing all these things. He was just got the tar beat out of him all the time. People just didn't like him. You know, some people loved him, but some people just hated him. But he just kept going. And didn't matter. I mean, the churches were supposed to support him a little bit, but he got out there all on his own. And they weren't sending him money like they were supposed to. And so what'd he do? He quit. No, he didn't. He went and got a job. He went and started making tents so he could keep on preaching the gospel. So sometimes he had a lot, sometimes he had a little, but his attitude stayed the same. And see, if we can get to that place of contentment in our life, it'll save us from a lot of bad decisions that we make. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we make bad decisions because we're not happy or we're not content. So we think we need to go out and get this, and that's going to make me happy. Then you get that, and then you find out you can't afford it, and now you're all stressed out because you can't pay for it. Hey, I've watched this over the years. Don't put yourself in that position. You know, try to live in your means and then grow into your blessing, and that you're going to find out some great things that God's going to do in your life, because really Thanksgiving is just a thought away if we can get our mind there. All right, Philippians 4, chapter 6. We looked at this one a couple times during our prayer messages. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, to me, anxiety is a robber. It will try to rob you and hold you back. And we can get victory over that. And we looked at that in our prayer session, that prayer really is the main cure for anxiety. You know, and if we pray, God will give us peace, and then we can start to take authority over those other things. And I know there could be some chemical things we looked at before, but those things can get remapped and, I believe, rewired in our brain, you know, to help us out. But primarily what we need to see is we need to stop worrying. Because a worry affects our focus. I mean, how many, if we're honest, would say that when you started to worry about something, it fixed it? I don't know if too many people could say that. Because worry doesn't fix anything. Worry just makes the problem bigger. Because it affects our focus. It makes us focus, and maybe you can relate to this because I know I have in my life. Worry makes us focus on what we don't have instead of actually seeing what we do have. And when we get to the place in our life where we're just looking on what we don't have, believe me, it's going to be a spiral down, down, down emotionally. Not to mention it's going to affect your relationships. See, it blurs our vision like rain on a windshield. You know, we all been driving in the rain every now and then. And that rain keeps coming, and a worried mind is a blurred mind. Now, Denise isn't in here right now, so I can tell this story because she won't listen to this till I put it online. But me and her have a thing. How many husbands and wives have a little thing you do to kind of, I don't want to say irritate each other, but, you know, yeah, irritate each other. My thing is, when we're driving down the road, I don't like to run their windshield wipers unless I totally have to. I'm not saving energy. I mean, that's not why I'm doing it. But, you know, there's a joke about that. The missionary told me in Greece when he was with a taxi guy, the taxi cab guy would turn off the headlights to save electricity when he's driving out in the country, and about killed him several times. You know, he thought it was saving electricity. So, no, I'm not doing that. But I just don't like it if it smudges the windshield. So it gets a few drops on there, I'll just keep driving. It don't bug me one bit. Well, I know it bugs Denise. She's told me countless times, turn the windshield on. So I just kind of sat there for a little while, just driving along with a grin on my face. You know, just waiting. You know, sometimes if I know the enemy's attacking our marriage a little bit. I don't poke, you know, you don't poke somebody just to do it for fun, you know. But I know if we're doing good, you know, sometimes I'll just drive for a while. And then finally she'll look over at me and she knows I'm doing it on purpose. You know, I'll turn the wipers on, you know. But see, that blurred vision is sometimes what happens in our life, where we can't really see through things, and worry does that to us. It'll rob us from being able to function and operate properly. And what I think happens is that worry, when it comes into our life, it feeds our unbelief. Now, we all have unbelief, don't we? How many here would lie to me and say, I don't have unbelief in my life? We all do. Everybody has something going on where they have a little bit of unbelief in their life. And see, when we start to worry, it starts to make that unbelief bigger and bigger, because then we start to doubt God and His power and His provision in our life. So in fact, what it's doing, it's making it worse. And it gets us off balance and it gets us off target. And then Satan comes in and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and tries to get us mad at God. And why isn't God bailing us out of this? And, you know, that's why we need to make sure that we stop that in our life. You know, we need to pray. You know, it says here, pray or ask with thanksgiving, that scripture says. You know, because we need to be thankful when we come to God and talk to God, because no matter how bad you think you have it, you really have some good things you can find. If you just stop for a moment and pause and start to reflect and look. And I noticed this too in my life, is when I get spread too thin, is that I can easily get overwhelmed with stress easier. When I've taken on too much, and when too many things are coming my way and I haven't either delegated out properly, or I've just said yes when I should have said no. You know what I'm saying? How many done that before? You know, we've said yes when we should have said no at this time. Not no forever, but no for right now. Because my main role is, number one, I got to keep my relationship with God good. Number two, I got to take care of my family. That's my primary thing. And then this other stuff comes in that I can start to take care of. But if I don't take care of my relationship with God, and I don't care of my relationship with my family, then things are going to start to get attacked. See, then, before, you know, the enemy, you know, attacks from the outside, you can fight some of that off. But if you let the enemy on the inside, friendly fire, you know what I'm saying? You can get some friendly fire going. And when the husband and wife are divided, their prayers are hindered. And then it stops the flow of God really starting to move. Now, don't get me wrong, it can turn around. Hey, repentance, you know, as soon as you repent, it's gone. The only one that's going to bring it up is the devil. God ain't going to bring it up again. That's what I like about God. God doesn't bring up my problems to me. I mean, after I repent of them, he chooses to forget them. You know, I think we can learn a lot from God. So don't let yourself spread too thin, because when you get too much on your plate, now, I don't know about you, I've read in the Bible that our cup should runneth over, but our plate should not. You know what I mean? Our cup should run over with the anointing. And how we do that is that, you know, worry and anxiety, to boil it down, all comes back to there's a battle going on in our mind. And we've all faced that battle and what we have to do to win that battle, because nobody's going to win it for you. I wish God would sovereignly come down sometimes and just fix my brain sometimes, so I wouldn't, you know, have to worry or be concerned about different situations and circumstances. But I'll be honest, I've been a Christian for 30 years. He hasn't done it for me. He might do it for you, but he hasn't done it for me. Because God told me what I got to do. He said to take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10. He gave me the responsibility to choose what I think about. And it's up to me to be able to think about the right things. That's why we take those captive. And also, don't put your mind in neutral. You know, we decide what we need to think about. And remember, thanksgiving is just the thought away. That's what I want us to leave here today with. Thanksgiving is just the thought away. And if you can get that thought back in your mind, you're going to do good. Now, our last scripture we're going to look at today is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. And this is going to be telling us a little bit how we can do this. And it's going to be so simple that you think it's silly, but it's going to work. It says, for everything created by God is good. Well, I say amen. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Now there's the key. Receive. For it is sanctified by means of word of God and prayer. So that's my last point today, is receive. How important it is that you and I learn how to receive, especially with gratitude. And when we do that, we're going to start to walk in a better place. We're going to start to really get in that Holy Ghost bubble that's awesome to be in, where the blessings of God just start to chase us down, and we're just walking in a world where there's war going on around us, but we're walking in the peace of God because we have the confidence of God in our life that our God is faithful and He's going to bring me through to the other side. That's what I want in my life, and that's what I want in your life, that God's going to start to move. But it all starts for being grateful for the good things in life from God. We live in a society where there's so much stuff out there that it's, you know, back in the old days, you know, in Little House on the Prairie, you know, they had to really go through some things and weren't bombarded with all this other stuff. And just the little things in life, you know, praise God, the corn came up. You know what I'm saying? You know, it don't bother us because we just go to the store. If that store don't have it, we go to another store. And if they don't have it, we buy it online. You know, seriously. We have so much stuff now at our disposal, but, you know, so we miss out on the little things in life that are really special. And we take those things for granted. And what happens when we take things for granted, I believe we get into a bad place, and that place is the entitled mentality. Have you ever been around somebody that felt they were entitled to things just because they're them? And when they get into that mindset and that way in their life, they start to get into a flow and they're not appreciative of anything or everything. And they're not thankful. They just think, I deserve this. And I'll tell you what, parents, we can make our kids that way, can't we? If we don't train our kids the way they're supposed to go, they can turn into a real problem when they get older, with that entitled mentality. I'm not saying they got to work for your love, because that's what sometimes some people make the mistake and go that way. It's not about working for their love, but it's the idea of teaching them to appreciate things in life. You know, there's a lot of opportunities you can do to get your kids out there to teach them some things. You know, maybe delivering meals to people or working in a soup kitchen. I think there's one in Atoma you could probably volunteer at. Just different things to let them see that, hey, there's some people out there that could really use some help, and you have the power to do that. You know, we need to learn how to properly harvest. To me, harvest equals receiving. Now, the pilgrims, they got to the place where they would harvest. They sowed their seed when they were supposed to. Then in the fall, they got their harvest. And when they got their harvest, they started to get thankful. Now, I believe that we need to put our eyes on the harvest and acknowledge God's bountiful provision in your life. Now, only from our harvest will we have seeds of gratitude to sow to others. So we need to understand how to harvest properly so that we can see where the harvest comes from. And I'll be honest, when you're thankful for what God has given you, you're more apt to share. Think about that. You're more apt to share. If you believe it is God who is your provider, it is the one who is bringing the blessings into your life. So if we give God the glory for it, no, we're not taking up another offering right now. Some of you are getting kind of twitchy, I noticed, but we're not doing that. I'm just wanting to get you to a place where you're so free that you believe that you're in connection with God and that God is blessing you beyond all you could ever ask or think. And I'll tell you what, you can take that blessing and then you can start to share some of that with other people in their life. And then it's a cycle you can get into with God. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Just like a farmer, seed time and harvest. There's times that you have to sow, but also there's times you have to reap in your life. And I tell you, when we, you know, we ought to be thankful that we get a sow. Thank God I got seed to sow. But I'll tell you what, thank God for the harvest. And the harvest in your life, when you start to acknowledge that, you're going to go places. And I believe that, you know, when we get our harvest, you know, it's wrong to hoard it or to idolize it. And that's what sometimes people do. Remember the story in the Bible, the guy who had a big harvest, and instead of sharing, he built a bigger barn. Then he died. Never got to enjoy a lick of it. You know what I'm saying? We don't know when we're checking out of this place. So that's why we sow seeds ahead. I believe we need to be vocal in our thankfulness. How do you do that? Well, number one, in your prayer time or whenever you like to do it, tell God how good he is. God, you're so good. I thank you for this. I mean, I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life and the things that he's done to be able to bless me and bring me from the place that I was and put me to where I am right now. You know, I started out, you know, and, you know, I just didn't know for sure what was going to turn out in life, you know. And I, you know, I'm not, you know, in a place where, you know, a lot of people wouldn't want my lifestyle, but I'm happy and I'm joyful for the things that God does in my life. I mean, I acknowledge his existence and his moving and his blessing in my life. I mean, I'll be honest, I could get better. I've witnessed some people, like I said, I study people all the time. I want to learn things. And if they're doing something better than I am, I want to learn how to do that. I know some people that just thank God constantly, and it irritates me. They're so happy all the time because I want that. I want that. I want to be in the place where I just walk in the joy of the Lord because I know that's my strength. I'm so thankful for the things. And see, what happens is that then after we tell God how good he is, we need to tell other people. And that's that. When you tell other people how good God is, that's like a testimony. You know what I'm saying? Just tell God. What's God doing in your life? Blah, 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 blah. What? I don't see nothing. What? God's always doing something in your life. Maybe you're just not acknowledging it. Because the scripture said every good thing comes from God. Every good thing. And that's what we need to see, is that if we stop focusing on what we don't have and be thankful what we do have, we can do it. And I believe that if we learn how to receive, it's going to remove the barriers out of our life that keep us from receiving God's love and acceptance. Because there's barriers that we put up. There's things that we put up in our life. And the key, now this is a key that's going to be so simple that it's going to revolutionize your life. Start seeing every good thing in your life as a gift from God. Everything. Every good gift in your life, start thanking God for it. Now, how many times do we thank God for our paycheck? I don't know, but I bet the percentage is well south of 30. Just guessing. Why? Because you think you had to work for it. Well, you did. But I don't know about you, but I think the Bible says every good gift is from God. And if you think your paycheck is a good gift, it's a good thing in your life, we need to start thanking God for it. And if we start to do that, you know, I know there's times when, you know, I was out wiring and I'm down in some crawl space or I'm up in some attic fighting the bats. It's hard to thank God in them situations. You know what I mean? I don't want to be there. But I thank God that he gave me a job. I thank God that people pay me for what I do. I thank God for that. I thank God for the health that I have. I thank God for the people in my life. And as I start to do that, it starts to change and remaps my brain. It starts to make me think at life differently and look at life differently. Where I start to see the good in things and I look away from the bad, and I guess, in a sense of trying to pull me down. There's so much bad out there, you know, and the news very seldom tells us good things, does it? It tries to tell us the bad things. But if we can remap our brains and get us there, and I really think that I wonder if we need to start to thank our way out of our problems. You know, not thanking God for your problem, but thanking God he can bring you out of your problem, bring you through your problem. And if we get to that, we're going to walk in that mindset, because if we develop a God-sufficiency mindset and we get away from the self-sufficiency, then we start to walk in the blessing. Because really, thanksgiving is just a thought away. And I encourage us as we go through this week and hopefully for the rest of our life, that we learn to thank God for the little things. And then I believe that we'll be able to move on to the bigger things in life. I'll be honest, I've grown in my blessing. You know, and it's got to be God, because the way that I map and the way that I live my life, you know, I basically need God's blessing in my life to do what I need to do. And I've witnessed his provision. And I've witnessed the things, you know, that he does. And, you know, I just can't stress enough how great our God is. Amen? Let's pray.